Hey, Zach here with a new bonus episode. Anyone who listened to this series knows that I went on a real journey of discovery over the course of the season, and Bill and I ended up disagreeing on what we thought happened in the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel. And today, I'm going to share one of the moments where I started to question the conspiracy. It has to do with the girl in the polka dot dress. In episode 5, you heard from Sandra Serrano, the young campaign worker who saw a girl in a polka dot dress the night RFK was assassinated.
This girl came running down the stairs in the back, and said, "We've shot him, we've shot him." And I says, "Who did you shoot?" And she says, "We shot Senator Kennedy."
After a few days of looking for the girl, the Los Angeles police brought Serrano to a guy with a lie detector, Sergeant Hank Hernandez.
You know that this is wrong. You might want to be pushing it off with a smirk on your face, with a smile, but you know that deep inside what you are telling the truth.
I remember seeing a girl.
No, this story is a lie. This didn't happen.
Hernandez bullied Serrano into changing her story. But there was another person who said he saw the girl in the polka dot dress. A waiter by the name of Vincent DePiero. In episode 5, we played tape from his original LAPD interview. But you didn't hear from him directly. And that's not because we couldn't find Vincent DePiero. Bill and I did find Vincent DePiero. We interviewed him, and I guess the best way to put it is I found his story unbelievable. I'm Zach Stewart Pontier, and this is the RFK Tapes.
Vincent DePiero is a really interesting guy, as you and I have discovered.
Yeah.
Part-time waiter at the Ambassador Hotel.
Okay, and you are employed by whom, the Ambassador Hotel?
He is there the night. His father calls him at 11:30 and says, "Hey, Vinny, if you want to see the senator, it looks like he's winning tonight. Come on down. You can have a chance to meet Senator Kennedy."
Yeah, he said to come on down and see Kennedy.
All right.
Because I've never seen him.
You left your home.
And he comes down, and he's hanging out in the pantry at the time or a little before Kennedy's speech is done. And he notices this guy over on a tray stacker.
Was it Sirhan?
Yes. He was right by the trays. He was up on the tray stand.
He was up.
He stood on this.
And you could see him at that
night. I could see him. The only reason that he was noticeable was this good-looking girl in him.
The reason he notices him is that he's standing with a pretty girl.
What is this girl wearing?
She had a white dress with either black or dark violet or polka dots.
In a white dress with black polka dots.
All right, was the girl with him?
It looked as though, yes.
What makes you say that?
Like, it looked like if she was almost holding him.
It looked like she was almost holding him.
And then he walked towards the center.
Yes.
He sees her hand advance and pulls out a gun and fires at Robert Kennedy.
First shot, I don't know where it went, but it was his second or third one that hit Mr. Kennedy. And after that, I had blood all over my face from his head, because my glasses, Martin saw the blood all over my face.
So he was an important witness because he saw the whole thing from beginning to end, more or less. Not everything, but so he was an important witness to the police. And they were fine with this story about the girl with Sirhan for the first week or so. And then when all of a sudden the girl with the polka dot dress became an unwelcome story, someone just said, "Well, somebody's got to go talk to Vinny and tell him that this part of the story is really no good."
"My name is Sergeant Hernandez. Your name is Vincent DePiero. Is that right?"
And so he merited a session with Hank Hernandez.
"Vince, did you see a girl with a polka dot dress looking at Sirhan the night Kennedy was shot?"
"Yes."
"Vince, did you make up the story about the girl in the polka dot dress?"
"Yes."
"Right now, you can go ahead. I've released the pressure."
It's interesting when you listen to that session. It's not as confrontational as the Sandra Serrano. But young Vincent DePiero, who's also 19, is really kind of mystified because he keeps telling Hernandez that, no, I'm telling the truth. This is what I saw.
That's what I remember seeing.
Hernandez is saying, oh, well, you got this girl. You saw her somewhere else, and maybe you heard it from this Serrano girl.
No, I think what probably happened here is that you thought you saw a girl after Sandra. I don't know, but I can see this is very conceivable. But after you talked to Sandra, you said, hey, I think I saw a girl back there.
And he finally convinces De Piero that maybe De Piero is confused himself.
Well, maybe I did, I don't know. Maybe from the confusion and my nervousness, I did. Could that be possible, from the nerves, that I did that?
It's sort of sad. And then finally, Hernandez keeps at it till De Piero sort of gives up and said, yeah, I must have gotten this story from Sandra Serrano.
Yeah, I just kept going along with it because she was there.
Well, for your own information, she was lying about it, too.
Which is interesting because at the end of Serrano's interview with Hernandez, he claims that she got the story from Vincent De Piero. So Hank Hernandez and his truth machine comes to something that couldn't possibly be true.
But that's not the most interesting thing about De Piero. So then what happens at the... So De Piero then says that he comes off the story of the polka dot, right? Now what happens at the trial?
Oh, God.
It seems obvious the prosecution is calling witnesses in a kind of time sequence, carrying the story of that night through the ballroom where Kennedy spoke, to the kitchen where he was shot, and next to the hospitals where he was treated.
Vincent De Piero is brought to the trial.
State your name, please.
Vincent De Piero.
And David Fitz is running the questions for the prosecution. He puts him on the witness stand, and he said, well, you know, Vincent, tell us what happened that night. And he tells the whole story about seeing Sirhan, Trey Stacker, and coming forward and shooting Kennedy.
A gun pointed toward the senator, and at that time, I saw the flash of the gun.
Doesn't say a thing about the young woman, okay? So, okay, he's told his story, and then Grant Cooper, the attorney for Sirhan, gets up and is going to ask a couple of perfunctory questions.
You stated that you are a student and part-time waiter.
Yes, I am.
He really doesn't have anything to ask De Piero, but he's got to pretend that he's doing something. So he says, well,
what was there that caused you to notice him?
At the time, there was there, I believe, a girl standing within the area of Sirhan. I can recall she was wearing a polka dot dress.
And all of a sudden, the story just comes spilling out.
Brunette, early 20s.
But Cooper doesn't like the story of the girl in the polka dot dress because that makes his client look even more guilty. So he doesn't want this story hanging around.
Now, you gave a statement also on the 1st of July to Sergeant Enrique Hernandez.
So what he does is he goes back and he reads De Piero his testimony to Hank Hernandez.
Question. You did not see a girl in a black and white polka dot dress standing beside Sirhan on that evening? Answer, no.
Now, were you telling Hank Hernandez the truth when you said there was no girl in the polka dot dress?
Yes.
Yes, I was telling the truth then. So there was no girl. Yes, there was no girl. Okay. So Cooper sits down, but David Fitz is ready for this eventuality. He has something in his back pocket.
I have a photograph, Your Honor. Do you recognize that individual as anyone you have ever seen before?
I believe I saw her that night.
Does she seem to be the girl?
Yes, I would think she would be.
So it was true, actually, that there was a girl in a polka dot dress.
Are you telling us in substance there was a girl standing near Sirhan at the time of the shooting, sir?
Yes, sir.
Now, De Piero has first said there wasn't, then he said there was, now he said there wasn't. Now Fitz is getting him to say, well, there really was a girl in a polka dot dress, but it was this girl.
The girl depicted in the photographs is one Valerie Schulte. I understand, a Santa Barbara girl. I have nothing further.
They hold up a picture of Valerie Schulte, and they get her to come and testify the next day.
State your name, please.
Valerie Schulte.
Valerie Schulte was, in fact, in the pantry following Kennedy.
Would you tell us what you were wearing on this evening in question?
I was wearing a green dress with yellow polka dots.
And she wore a green dress with large yellow splotches on it, which they called polka dots. And she had blonde hair. And she was on crutches.
The fact that you were on crutches, that was a holdover from a ski accident?
Yes.
And she was never near Sirhan. But they get Vincent De Piero to say on the witness stand that Valerie Schulte was the girl in the polka dot dress that he saw. And everybody bought it.
The once mysterious girl in the polka dot dress was among today's witnesses at the Los Angeles trial of Siran Siran.
And one of the main witnesses was a pretty blonde, the so-called girl in the polka dot dress, who was at the scene of the shooting.
Her name is Valerie Schulte. She said she was there that night and was wearing a polka dot dress. In fact, she brought it to court to show to everybody.
The prosecution and defense agree she had nothing to do with the assassination, that probably no one shouted, "They've shot him," and that there was no conspiracy.
It was absurd because not a single witness said this woman was wearing a green dress. And running across the room, she was on crutches. It's impossible. So it's probably the most bizarre moment in the trial of Siran Siran.
The reappearance of the girl. So, but that's not what makes Vincent an interesting guy. So, you want to tell the story of our interaction with Vincent
DePiero? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yikes.
It's at least in the pattern of my microphone.
Okay, well, I'm happy to be there. So if I'm here and he's there...
So Bill and I went out to sunny Los Angeles to interview Vincent DePiero, the waiter who said he saw a girl in a polka dot dress, and then said he didn't see a girl in a polka dot dress, and then said he did. Bill booked a room for the interview in a hotel near the airport.
I am realizing now that a pretty funny thing that we didn't think about, getting a hotel near the airport and recording a sound interview, is going to be planes.
Not that many. They're every once in a while.
There's going to be planes. So we're just going to have to all... See?
Fuck. Well. Authenticity.
Yeah. I do... Yeah. Hopefully it won't be in the moment he's just coming off of his story about the girl in the polka dot dress.
I worked for President Ford, I worked for Obama, and I was going to work for Bobby. Actually, it was funny.
Do you mind if we start recording?
No, it's fine. Okay.
Vincent DePiero is in his late 60s with silver hair. He's dressed casually in shorts and a polo shirt. Almost immediately, he began to tell us a story.
How I got started with Bobby was my dad was really good friends with Pierre Salinger.
Pierre Salinger was one of Robert Kennedy's campaign managers.
And then when Bobby announced in March, Pierre called my dad and says, "Hey, you think your son wants to be part of the Bobby Kennedy thing?" So he asked me, and I said, "Yeah, sure." So as of April 1st, I flew to Indiana, met Bobby there, and unfortunately, I was there the night that he made the speech with about Martin Luther King being killed. And I was with him basically all the time from there on until that night. And the Sunday before, we were out on the putting green at the Ambassador. It was Rosie Grier, Bobby Kennedy, my dad, and me. So anybody could have walked up to us and said, you know, bang, you know, you're dead. But nobody thought that. Nobody was even thinking that. And we were all talking. So Bobby says, "You're in school, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "How about transferring to Georgetown?" I said, "Why would I go to Georgetown?" He says, "You don't want to be an ex-assistant to the next president?" And I almost dropped my pants. I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe it. I was really impressed that he saw me as that. And that was how our relationship developed. I mean, he and I became pretty much friends.
DePiero tells us that the night of the California primary, he was studying for finals.
And he had called my dad several times. I think it was like the third time he called my father. My dad calls me and says, "He wants you to come. He's pretty pissed off. He says, you better show up." So I got dressed, went to the hotel. I got there about 12:15. So he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, I see you're here." I said, "Yeah." So goes, that didn't sound too happy, but I said, I'm here. So he was pleased.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
Saw him coming down the incline, and as soon as I could, I put my arm around him. So I had my arm around Bobby. Paul Schrade was like right to my left. Cesar Chavez was down the way a little bit. Rosie Grier, Rafer Johnson, all these people were there.
And you knew these people?
I sure. And Bobby shook my hand. I says, see you at the party. That's what he said. Shook two more people's hands. And then I saw the gun come from the right side of my eye. And I saw Sirhan with the gun in his hand up to his head. I saw the flash. I was immediately splashed in my face with the blood. Second bullet, his complete right side went limp. He leaned back into my arms. Third bullet went through the top of his jacket and into Paul's head, who then started falling on top of me on my left side. Now, I have Bobby in my arms. The FBI believes that the fourth shot went through my shirt. They think that it missed me by a couple of millimeters. He says I was lucky not to be shot. And I know that the next bullet that came out went into another person, and the final bullet went to the ceiling that I saw. That was, so every bullet that came out of that gun, I saw come out.
Vincent's story has changed over the years because his original story is he didn't see the first couple of shots. And now all of a sudden he sees the first shot and the gun is right up against Kennedy's head. This is a serious misrepresentation.
You're very clear on all those bullets.
Yes.
Do you feel like you've been consistent over the years between...
To the best of my recollection, that's how I remember what had happened that night.
But you probably assume that the statements you made back then,
were absolutely accurate.
Absolutely accurate. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear it?
Hear what?
Hear your statement back when you were 19?
Sure.
All right.
I didn't know they had that on recording.
Oh, yeah.
He stuck over with the gun and was shot, the first shot. I don't know where it went, but it was his second or third one that hit Mr. Kennedy, and after that I had blood all over my face.
What do you think?
No, the only thing I can think is I was in shock. I mean, I don't remember. Maybe when I went home and I relaxed, I remembered it better because maybe my mind cleared up, but I was so petrified.
Then, Bill and I played DePiero another part of his original police interview. He had just told us that he'd been working with Kennedy for months and that the reason he went to the ambassador was because Kennedy was asking specifically for him.
Your father called you at 11:15. Why did your father call you? Because he said to come on down and see Kennedy. All right. Because I had never seen him.
You left your home then about 11:15.
Why did your father call you? Because I had never seen Kennedy. That's a strange thing to say.
Every time I met him was like a new experience. I mean, I had been around him so much, but I don't know. I can't explain that. That was like an expression almost. I'm going to go see Senator Kennedy. I'm going to go meet Senator Kennedy. That's the only way I could probably explain that statement.
You don't mention that you were working for Kennedy, though.
No, I know. Nobody asked me that question.
We did finally get him to admit that Valerie Schulte could not possibly have been the woman that he saw next to Sirhan, but that it took a lot of doing.
Valerie was the actual girl that I actually saw. Okay. I mean, that's the girl that I put the face, that was the girl I remember. And she was standing near Sirhan.
But she, okay, let me disagree with you on that.
Okay.
Just a little, okay.
she came in behind Kennedy and was never anywhere near Sirhan. Mm-hmm. And that your description of that night bore no likeness to her.
She had blonde hair. She was on crutches in a green dress and yellow splotches. That's not the girl you described.
It was a white dress with dark spots, yeah.
White dress, had a bib collar, it had black polka dots or maybe purple polka dots. Right. So I'm thinking they did a little bait and switch.
That I don't know. I only testified to what I saw.
Yes.
And I'm not about to, after all these years, not about to change that.
But what I'm saying is you told the truth.
Yes.
When I saw what I saw. When you described that girl, you described her correctly.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I didn't know she was on crutches, but it was the same girl's face that I saw that I identified. So,
but it could not possibly have been Valerie Schulte because Valerie Schulte was on the other end of that room and was never in the end of the room where you saw the woman.
Right.
So if you take that as a reality, someone's playing a game.
You have to understand, 19, a lot of hormones, you know, you're looking at chicks all the time and you... Maybe I got confused with the faces, but I remember seeing her.
Yeah.
And she stood out in my head. And maybe that I took her face and put it on that dress. A lot of things could have happened. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I really can't explain it.
Yeah.
So what do you think happened?
I think Sirhan killed Robert Kennedy.
How sure are you?
I would say 100%. Because I remember that first shot.
And I want to say back to you that as someone who has worked for over 30 years on this case and done a lot of reading and a lot of investigating and going through the police files, which were hidden from everybody for 20 years.
And I didn't know that.
And I want to say to you, there are people on the other side who feel pain and anger when someone dismisses the work that's been done in this case because there's a lot of serious unanswered questions.
Okay. To respond to that, I would say this. I can put the gun in Sirhan's hand. He did kill the senator. To me, in my eyes, in my heart, in my soul, that's what I feel. It's hard to refute something that you see that horrific. So for me, it was being a 19-year-old and looking at my future die basically on the floor because I would have been working for him. My life would have been totally different.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
At a certain point, he had me convinced.
Really?
Yeah.
Convinced on what?
I don't know. He talked to all these presidents.
Well, he believes it. He talks to Obama like that. He talks to all these presidents like that.
I didn't know what was what after a while. I really didn't.
Really? Oh, man.
So I get, to me, that it muddies up this whole thing even more. And I guess it doesn't seem, does it to you?
How does it muddy it up?
Because here's a guy who says, you know, he's one of the main witnesses who says he saw this woman in a polka dot dress. And now we sat in a room together and he just, we sat in a room where he misrepresented his history with Robert Kennedy. He misrepresented a lot of stuff.
But he didn't misrepresent his history with Robert Kennedy the night of the murder. And I don't find any reason to believe that he misrepresented what he saw. He witnessed a murder take place. He had no need to embellish anything if he wanted to attract attention. No need at all to embellish anything. So my feeling is the night of the murder, when the police were asking him questions, he was telling them what he saw. And so I don't just because he's lying to us now and trying to enhance his relationship with Kennedy is not a reason for me to disbelieve what he said to the police that night.
For me, it does call into question what he said to the police that night. Here's a guy who co-opts other people's stories, who just so happened to have heard this story about the girl in the polka dot dress from Sandra Serrano just minutes before his own police interview. That's what she told us.
Then I was sitting next to Vincent. The cops are like, don't talk to each other. You know, we're young, right? I said, why are you here? He said, I was in the kitchen. And I said, oh, man. And so he's like, why are you here? And I said, I don't know. I think because this is what happened to me. And he said, well, what did they look like? And so I told him. She was wearing a white dress with polka dots on it, black polka dots. And he said, no shit. And he said, I seen that girl. And I said, you did? And he said, yeah, she was in the kitchen. Then the cop seen us talking, and the cop said, stop talking. So we stopped talking to each other. Never talked to him again, never seen him again. That was the end of it.
In the RFK case, everyone seems to find whatever they're looking for from a witness like Vincent DePiero. Bill dismisses DePiero's claims about seeing the first shot pressed against Kennedy's head, but he still believes DePiero saw the girl in the polka dot dress. Those on the other side of the debate dismiss DePiero's polka dot dress claims, but believe him when he says that the first shot was fired into Kennedy's head at point-blank range. They say that supports their theory that Sirhan acted alone. The one thing both sides can agree on is that DePiero is lying about some things and telling the truth about some others. Not exactly the most reliable witness. But that doesn't stop DePiero from telling his story, and it doesn't stop people from believing the parts they want to believe.
Leaving the ballroom through the kitchen, Bobby was shot and mortally wounded. Standing near him was 19-year-old Vincent DePiero. Tell us what you told me the other night about why you were there, what happened.
I was working for Robert Kennedy from approximately April 1st until June 5th.
This is DePiero on Hardball with Chris Matthews.
Robert had asked where was I, and I said, tell him I'm studying for my finals. I saw this gun literally come up, and the gun literally was inches away from his head.
Did you catch Senator Kennedy as he fell? What were you doing at that moment?
Yeah, he fell backwards, and I put my arms out, and I caught him.
Do you have any doubt from the beginning that it was Sirhan Sirhan who shot and killed and mortally wounded Robert Kennedy?
No, I have zero doubt.
Vince DePiero, I'm so glad I met you, sir. It's an honor to have you on.
Thanks, Chris.
When we return, let me finish tonight with that night in Los Angeles, my own views about that night in 1960.
If a dog bites a man, that's no news. But if a man bites a dog, that's news.
Crimetown is me, Zach Stewart-Pontier, and Mark Smirley. The RFK Tapes is made in partnership with Cadence 13. For bonus content, check out our website at rfktapes.com. This episode was produced by Kevin Shepard, Ula Culpa, and Bill Klaber. Our senior producer is Austin Mitchell. Editing by Mark Smirling. Fact-checking by Jennifer Blackman. This episode was mixed and sound designed by Ernie Indradat. Music by Kenny Cusiak, additional music by John Cusiak. Our title track is Maria Tambien by Krungbin. Our credit track this week is It's No News by Davis Hamilton, performed by Melvin Davis. Music supervision by Josh Kessler and Dylan Bostick at Heavy Duty Projects. Voiceover casting for the trial reenactments by Shelley Chinoy. Vincent DePiero was played by Andy Schmelko. The lawyers were played by Jim Mullins. And Valerie Schulte was played by Shelley Chinoy. Archival footage courtesy of the California State Archives. Archival research by Brennan Reese. Our website is designed by Kurt Courtney. Thanks to Emily Wiedemann, Green Card Pictures, Alessandro Santoro, Shane O'Sullivan, Brad Johnson, and the team at Cadence 13. If you like the RFK tapes, please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It really helps others find out about the show. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the RFK Tapes. To be suffering with the blues.